She sighed and rubbed at a dark stain on her shoe. He's still getting over what happened with Second Mom getting abducted after her survey. Things like that don't happen on Preservation. It was a big shock. And maybe he's a little jealous. She can talk to you about what happened to her, but she can't talk to us. Mensa had said that too. I didn't understand why they wanted her to talk about it. Couldn't they just read the report? That's not what we talk about, most of the time. Amina hesitated. They wouldn't really have killed her. They couldn't get away with that. That sounds incredibly naive, but Amina and Tiago and the rest of Mensa's family and 99%+ of Preservation's population still didn't know about the other assassination attempt. If Graycris had managed to cut a deal with the company, they would have. They would have taken the ransom from Preservation and killed her, Pinley, Rati, and Garothin, and no one would have been able to do anything about it. My scout drones encountered a closed safety hatch into the main engineering module section. This was a good sign. If the target drones had been circulating through here, it would have been open. I reached it and hit the manual release. As soon as the hatch started to slide upward, I sent my drone cloud under the gap, directing it to spread out into the corridor ahead. No lost contacts, and their cameras and scans detected no movement. So far, so good. Though I was picking up a vibration just on the edge of my perceptible range. Maybe it was normal? I hadn't spent any time here when I'd traveled with Art before. My drone cloud didn't encounter any target drones as it followed the circular corridor around to the engine control access, which was a relief. The last thing I needed was to be whacked into an involuntary restart again. Figuring out a countermeasure for the stealth material on the target drones and on the target's helmets was on the long list of stuff I needed to do so we could survive. But none of the things on the list would matter much if the target control system had sent us into the wormhole with no destination. I'd seen shows about humans and augmented humans trapped in wormholes indefinitely. They ranged from bleakly depressing due to an excess of realism to highly unlikely due to an excess of optimism. At least the humans in the shows knew they were on a potentially endless trip, and not just a long one. I hadn't seen any sign of damage or disturbance up to this point, but then I came around the curve into a foyer where quiescent display surfaces floated along the walls above specialized control interfaces. The weird thing was that the stations were active, though in standby mode, and not shut down. Even I knew you didn't mess with the engines while they were actually making the transport go. These stations would be for fine-tuning or altering or something, which should only be done while the transport was in dock. Also, one station chair was twisted around to face the entrance, and near it, one of Art's repair drones lay smashed on the deck. My drones are tiny intel drones, but most of Art's were larger, with multiple arms and physical interfaces so they could perform maintenance and other specialized tasks. This drone had six of its spidery arms deployed when something had knocked it out of the air, and it was splayed and flattened to the deck like something had stepped on it. I wanted to pick it up and have an emotion over it like a stupid human, but I smelled growth medium again. Amina said, "This is such a different setup from the ships I've seen. Can you look for a display somewhere with..." Oh, I had a bad feeling about this. I followed the smell. It led me through the next hatch and down a short gravity well where blinking caution markers floated in the air. The gist was that various component manufactories and shipwrights in the University of Mihira and New Tideland did not want you to come down here without a class master engineering license or local jurisdictional equivalent. And if you felt you just had to, then really don't fucking touch anything. Amina had stopped talking, and her assigned drone camera showed her squinting in concentration as she watched the scene through my eyes. At the bottom of the gravity well, there was a platform where I could look down through the transparent shielding bubble over the engines. Confession. I didn't know what the engines were supposed to look like, exactly. I'd never had to guard a transport's engines, and they were usually too boring to show on the entertainment media. But I knew whatever was down there wasn't supposed to have a large, organic mass on top of it that smelled of algae and growth medium. Amina said softly,
"What? What the? What is that?"
Believe me, it was the question occupying 92% of my attention right now. Organic neural tissue can be melded with inorganic systems. Example A, the squishy bits inside my skull. So there was an outside chance, it was so outside I couldn't estimate a percentage, that this organic mass was a normal part of Art's systems, maybe something unique and proprietary. But then, why did it smell like the targets? I got an alert from Scout 2 in the control area foyer. I checked its input and saw Target 5 stride over and pick up the screen device where it lay on a chair. Why the hell does everything have to happen at once? But at least the freaky thing on Art's engines wasn't trying to crawl up here and kill us yet. As Target 5 tapped his fingers on the solid-state screen, I widened my input range to pick up any active channel. In 2.3 seconds, I caught a data transmission. More importantly, 0.2 seconds later, I caught Target Control System's response. Got you, you piece of shit! But something about the view from Scout 2 bothered me. It had been bothering me for a while, but I had been too agitated to pay attention. A lot of my ability to do threat assessment, like pick potential hostiles out of crowds or tell which stupid boat is full of raiders instead of curious locals, is based on pattern matching off a database of human behaviors. The targets were anomalous, but they weren't so anomalous they didn't exhibit the same basic types of behaviors as other humans. And something was off about their behavior in the control area foyer. Something that couldn't be accounted for by their overconfidence or the fact that they were all assholes. Scout 2 watched the targets waiting impatiently, standing around the control area foyer as Target 5 tapped at the screen. Standing. Even after they had apparently realized that the noise from the sealed control area was a decoy, after their security update made them much less vulnerable to drone attacks, they had stood around and waited. Sec units weren't allowed to sit down, ever, but humans and augmented humans did it every chance they had. They hadn't tried to search for us. They had stayed in the foyer, sending their target drones into the surrounding corridors, but no further. We were hostiles, trapped in an enclosed space with them. Moving through it at will, as far as they knew. Why weren't they trying to protect themselves by making their own safe zone? Why hadn't they at least found a compartment to lock themselves in? Were they relying completely on the target drones, or were they waiting for outside help because they knew they hadn't long to wait? They hadn't even bothered to sit down. It's not like I didn't already think this situation was really fucking bad, but I was beginning to think it was way fucking worse. Wormhole travel takes multiple cycles. The trip from our survey site back to preservation had taken 4 preservation standard cycles, which were defined as 28 preservation standard hours each. And it was considered a short trip, just to the edge of preservation territory. There was no way we could be at our destination yet, or any destination yet. I tapped Scout 1, locked up in Art's control area, and told it to look again at that display that showed Art's hull, the wave patterns, and the time countdown. Scout 1 zipped back up to that console. The countdown was at 2 minutes, 14 seconds. Oh, yeah. This is an issue. I forwarded the input to Amina. Amina's drone squad watched her eyes narrow in disbelief.
That really looks like it's counting down to a wormhole exit, but that can't be right.
I was somewhat desperate for it not to be right. Wake Elytra and ask her how long the ship was in the wormhole, how long it took them to get from the system where they were captured to preservation territory. Amina scooted around to touch Elytra's shoulder. After long seconds, Elytra stirred. Amina asked the question. Elytra blinked, more aware, and her expression turned puzzled.
We never left the system. We've been here the whole time. No, you came through a wormhole to preservation where we were captured. Now we're going somewhere else. Remember the gray person said we were in the bridge transit?
Amina tried to persist, but Elytra's eyelids were drooping, and she didn't respond. Amina sent to me,
She's still really confused. Earlier they both thought we'd been captured before they were, and they didn't believe me when I tried to tell them we weren't.
I told her, This thing on the engine housing is an alien remnant. I think it's taking us through the wormhole at a much faster rate. Much faster. Not hours instead of cycles, but minutes instead of cycles. Art's engines had been compromised by a device that was using the wormhole in a completely different way, allowing travel faster than any transport technology that I'd seen in media or heard about on the news feeds. Faster than any human transport technology. I think we're about to come out into normal space. Amina shook her head.
No, that's bonkos. The timer must be damaged. We've only been in the wormhole for a few hours. We can't be anywhere yet. The closest inhabited system outside preservation territory is 15 days from station at least. And then the engines made a noise somewhere between a groan and a clunk.
A new display sprung up in front of Scout One. A view of normal space. We had just come out of the wormhole. Amina froze, staring at the feed view of the new display. Her eyes widened in alarm. Then she said,
What should we do?
That was a really good question. My first thought was to try to destroy the alien remnant. Fortunately, instead of doing that, I went on to the next thought. I don't know anything about transport engines, but I know you shouldn't shoot at them, okay? They're near the top of the long list of things it's just obviously not a good idea to shoot at. I needed more intel before I could do anything about this. I didn't like the idea of saying, I don't know, to Amina, because humans panic, and I almost don't blame them, because right now I feel like panicking, and I was not in control of this situation, and I could see at least 10 instances now where I'd made wrong decisions, and being in control of the situation was really important, because otherwise it was in control of me. And that felt like a short step to being back in the company's control. And maybe I just had to trust Amina, who had tackled a much larger human because she had thought she needed to save me. I told her, I don't know. Amina sat up straight, biting her lip. Then she whispered to herself,
All right, let's think.
On the feed, sounding much calmer than she looked, she said,
Can you make that drone in the control area move around? If we can see a display that will tell us where we are, or if there's a station or someplace we can try to send a distress signal,
that wasn't a bad idea. I exited the platform and went back up through the gravity well, telling Scout One to do a sweep of any active display surfaces. As its input filled with images, I pulled my archived video of its previous survey and ran a comparison. I was able to isolate 5 displays with significant changes. I enlarged them and set the images up in our feed so we could page through them.
This one, Amina said immediately. This is local navigation. There's info on the star. It doesn't say if we're close to the station, or if there's a station at all.
I reached the monitoring area with its poor dead repair drone. I could see the display Amina was interpreting, but I'd found another diagram of Art on a new display, An indicator showed something attached to the outside of Art's hull, on its lab module. Looking at the specifications, for fuck's sake, it couldn't be. I'd shut off our comm because I didn't want the targets using it to track us. Plus, it wasn't like anybody could contact us while we were in the wormhole. I reactivated it and checked the channel our survey had used. It was active. Yeah, this was happening. I pinged the channel and got an immediate response and transferred it to our feed relay. Amina clapped a hand to her head in shock. What? A familiar voice said, Sec Unit, Amina, can you hear me? It was Arada. Amina gasped.
Oh, we're here. We're here. Where are you?
Arada said, We're in the facility's safe pod, attached to the hull of the raider ship. You're on board, correct? We saw you pulled toward the airlock. Sometimes I wonder what the point of it all is. They were supposed to be safe on the base ship, arriving at Preservation Station by now. I said, Who's we?
Sec Unit,
Arada said, clearly happy to hear from me.
Oh, Oversay is here, and Tiago and Rati. We weren't able to reach the base ship after jettison and were dragged into the wormhole with the attacker.
Should we try to get to you?
Amina asked. She hopped off Elytra's gurney and bounced on her toes.
We've got an injured person with us.
Arada said hastily,
No, no, the pod's too damaged. We didn't expect...
Someone in the background, probably Oversay, yelled something urgent, but it was muffled, and I'd have to analyze the audio to understand it. Arada changed whatever she was about to say to,
What's your situation there?
Oh, there was a lot Arada wasn't telling us, but I was estimating a 70% chance that if we hadn't exited the wormhole so absurdly early, Arada and the others wouldn't have survived much longer. So now I had 4 more humans to worry about. Fantastic. Amina was giving Arada a rapid but somewhat garbled report on all the fun we'd been having and warning her about the targets. The targets couldn't be alien, could they? No, that wasn't possible. Aliens couldn't look that much like humans. Could they? I sent Arada a schematic of the outside of Art's hull with the airlock in our safe zone highlighted. Arada, can you get to this lock? There was a pause which told me that their situation was even worse than Arada was implying. I estimated the hesitation was just long enough for her to check the air reserves in the evac suits they were probably already wearing due to damage to the pod. Then Arada said firmly,
Yes, we can make that. ETA say 3 minutes.
I'll meet you there, I told her, and started out of the engineering monitoring area. I should have at least 2.5 spare minutes, so I went ahead with the hack of target control system. The thing that had protected it so far was the fact that it didn't interact with the feed or with interfaces the way every other system I'd ever encountered had. But Target 5 had accessed target control system and been responded to, so that told me what channel to concentrate on and what kind of transmissions it would accept. And it also told me I was going to need to go old school to break this fucker. I tossed together a code bundle that duplicated the signal sent by the target's screen device, copied it 100 times, made it self-replicating so all my copies were copying themselves, then sent the whole thing to target control system. Art would have laughed at an attack like that. Actually, Art would have laughed at the part where it sent back a code bundle that would have eaten my face. But I had a theory that the reason the targets weren't trying to access most of Art's systems was that their target control system lacked the ability to effectively use Art's architecture. Then I got an alert from a sentry drone. It was on the hatch into the quarters module, the first hatch I'd sealed to create our safe zone. It couldn't get a visual of any target drones, but an energy buildup near the hatch indicated a weapon or tool was being used on the controls. Uh-oh. I started to run, following the curving corridor back out of the engineering module. I checked Scout 2 in the control area foyer, just in time to see targets 5 and 6 race out of its camera range. When I said everything kept happening at once, it had mostly been an exaggeration, but now everything was actually happening at once. Something must have alerted them to the safe pod on the hull. I had an option, but it was a terrible idea. But it was also the only way to get Arata and the others inside in time. Amina, our safe zone is about to be compromised, and I need to deal with it. Can you get to the airlock to cycle Arata and the others in? I was assuming Target Control System wasn't going to be cooperative about admitting visitors. Plus, it was a little busy right now. Amina had been pacing medical, anxiously listening in on the hurried conversation in the safe pod as they prepared to abandon it. She stopped, muted her comm, and said,
"Yes, can you give me a map?"
I sent her our safe zone map with the fastest route to the airlock highlighted. "You'll have your squad of drones ahead of you. I'll send an alert and another route if they encounter anything."
"Understood."
She started for the door, then stopped to pick up the target's energy weapon and tuck it into her jacket pocket. Then she dodged sideways and grabbed a container out of the pile of supplies on the bench. I meant to enlarge the image to see what she'd taken, but I had intel coming in from the sentry drone that the safe zone hatch had just been breached. At the engineering module exit, I took a different route, through the hatchway, into the cargo handling station, and out to the corridor that ran down the outside of the central module toward the quarters hatch. If I couldn't get in front of them, I had to come up from behind. There were three possible reasons the targets might have acted now. 1. They had received intel from Target Control System that the safe pod was on the outside of the hull and interpreted its presence as an attack. 2. Now that we'd left the wormhole and were presumably at our destination, they knew their reinforcements would be coming soon and felt it was now relatively safe to attack us. Or 3, they were expecting a supervisor to arrive at any moment and wanted to look proactive. With my luck, it was a combination of all 3. My drone zipping ahead of me, I reached the far end of the central module and ducked through 2 connecting corridors. I lost 3 drone contacts as they reached the passage to the quarters hatch, but I didn't slow down. I'd gone low in the last 2 encounters, and with combat drones, even weird, unfamiliar ones, it was best to assume there was an active learning component. So I accelerated, and as I rounded the corner, I ran up the bulkhead. 2 target drones waited for me near the deck, and I landed on one before it could change position. I smashed the second as it jolted toward my head. The hatch had been cut open, the locks drilled and partially melted. I ordered my drones to drop back. I hadn't had time to work on countermeasures for the target's protective suits, and I knew I was going to regret that. I lost one of Amina's drone contacts and sent her an alert. She was in a corridor near a junction she would have to cross to get to the airlock, and there was no alternate route. I told her, "Go back to medical."
"No time,"
Amina said, and stepped back to press herself against the bulkhead.
"I think something's wrong with the safe pod."
I could have argued about that, but there wasn't time, and she was right. And I'd finally gotten a view of the container she'd taken from the emergency supplies, the one she was currently holding clutched to her chest. It was the fire suppressor Ross had pointed out. I slammed through the connecting passage and out into the next corridor. Targets 5 and 6 spun to face me, pointed their clunky square energy weapons at me. 4 target drones hovered beside them. 2 turns beyond was the junction Amina needed to pass through, so I needed to A, keep them here, or B, kill them. Let's go with option B. Amina's drones clustered protectively around her as she hit the release on the fire suppressor. The chemical blast shot out, and Amina hit what she aimed at because suddenly my drones could see the approaching target drone. The burst of chemical wash had coated the target drone's casing and disrupted the camouflage. File under save for later. This confirms the camouflage is a physical effect, something in the design visible on their casing, not an unknown type of transmitted interference. The target drone wavered sideways, then lurched down the corridor, probably with its propulsion and sensors damaged. Amina ducked around the corner and sprinted toward the junction. Staring at me, Target 5 said something in that language with no translation. Target 6 made a dismissive gesture and started to turn back toward the foyer I absolutely had to keep them away from. As Target 5 lifted his weapon and the target drone shot forward, I moved. My drones couldn't see the target drones due to the stealth material, but I could. I pulled an estimate of the coordinates from my scan and sent a drone toward each target drone with orders to make surface contact. One overshot and had to loop back, but all four managed a landing. With the contact drones for a reference, the rest of my drones could approximate the target drones' positions. As the target drones reached me, I told my drones to attack at will. While this was going on, and Target 5 was lifting his weapon, I ducked and dove forward. The first blast went over my head. Then a target drone banged into my shoulder and knocked me into the bulkhead. Then a thing happened. The comm, hidden in the pocket under my ribs, the comm Art had given me when I left it on Ravi Hyrule's transit ring, pinged my internal feed with a message. It was a compressed packet. A type meant to be sent in-system, not carried via transports through wormholes, which meant it had originated with Art's internal comm array. It was tagged with the name Eden. My drones hulled two target drones, but the third already had a fix on me. It tried to slam me in the head, but it had to back up first to build up speed, which gave me a chance to grab it. I shoved it sideways in time to block a blast from Target 5's energy weapon. Heat blasted over the target drone, which was a factor I hadn't anticipated. This was different from the weapon dead Target 2 had used on me. Instead of just being a pain-causing annoyance, this blast was meant to destroy tissue and incapacitate permanently. Even with the target drone between us, my hands took damage. Three of my drones got caught in the blast and dropped to the deck. Eden. Eden was the name I used on Ravi Hyrule, when Art had helped me. This had to be a trick, except that target control system was drowning in the code bundles I'd sent. It shouldn't have the ability to send me a packet now. But something on board Art had sent it. I started an analysis of the transmission. I kept hold of the target drone and used my feet to shove off the wall, swung my body around on the deck, and hit Target 5's legs with my legs. He fell sideways into the bulkhead, then down to the deck. I couldn't get up yet, but at least we were both down here now. On the channel where I'd been following Amina's progress, I saw she had passed through the foyer and on into the corridor beyond and found the airlock. She was breathing hard and sweating as she tapped the cycle command on the pad. "I hope this is right," she muttered to my drones hovering around her. Then the warning lights flashed, a sign that the outer lock had received the command and was preparing to open. "Yes!" Amina waved her arms and did a little dance. My analysis of the packet finished, and I checked the results. No killware or malware detected, and the file type indicated it was a video clip. It also indicated that it was a delayed message, sent some time earlier but trapped when Art's feed and comm had gone down. The fact that a message stuck in the comm's store and forward buffer had finally been delivered meant that as target control system failed, some of Art's more complex systems were beginning to restart. It could still be a trick. It was exactly the kind of tricky shit SEC units could do. And I knew so many ways someone could use an intense visual stimulus to temporarily trash my scan. Visual sensors, neural tissue, etc. But I had to play it. Maybe I was desperate for some sign Art was still here somewhere, but the fact that it was a video clip felt like a communication method only someone who knew me would choose. I played it. Target 6 ran up and aimed his energy weapon at me, but I let go of the target drone and pulled Target 5 on top of me. With all the flailing and screaming going on, Target 5, not me, Target 6 couldn't get a clear shot. I was firing both the energy weapons in my arms, but the target's protective suit seemed to be deflecting the bolts, at least to some extent. With all the screaming, it was hard to tell. Another target drone swung in, but my surviving drone slammed it sideways and it hit Target 6's helmet. There was a lot going on, but I really needed to get off the floor. Amina and her drones scrambled back as the airlock cycled open, and Arada, Oversay, Rati, and Tiago stumbled out. Rati went down in a heap of singed evac suit. I couldn't tell if he'd been hurt or had just tripped on the lock's raised seal. Then Tiago staggered sideways and Oversay caught his arm, and I knew my first theory had been correct, and that the safe pod had taken extensive damage. The compressed video clip in the packet was from the serial World Hoppers, from a story arc climax episode when a secondary main character's mind had been taken over by a sentient brain virus, I know. And the story was really much better than it sounds, but it was the moment when the character said, "I am trapped in my own body." I really needed to get up to Art's Bridge. I really needed to keep Targets 5 and 6 and their drones away from my humans who were unhelpfully still wandering around in the airlock foyer, exclaiming at each other. And I had to do both at once. I got my knees up, lifted, and threw Target 5 at Target 6. They both fell backward, and I rolled to my feet. A damaged target drone slammed through what was left of my drone cloud. It clipped my shoulder as I threw myself back toward the quarters module hatch. I needed to make sure both targets followed me, so I yelled, "I'm going to blow up the transport and kill all of you, you pieces of shit!" It was lame, but I was in a hurry. As I ran, the targets yelled in response, high-pitched, furious, and incomprehensible. A damaged drone managed a last set of images, verifying that both targets charged after me. I headed up the corridor toward the control area. That was the point where I realized I hadn't discontinued the channel I was using to send my visual input to Amina. She probably hadn't been able to pay attention to it since she had left medical. Humans, even augmented humans, can't process multiple inputs like I can. But it was still playing in her feed. Her drone escort showed her standing in the airlock foyer. Still? What the hell? With Arada, while Oversay and Tiago dragged Rati out of his damaged evac suit. Arada had her suit half off and looked frazzled and, to put it mildly, concerned. On my feed, Amina shouted repeatedly, "Where are you going? What is happening?" Under the circumstances, they were reasonable questions. "Get to medical," I told her. I didn't want to answer any reasonable questions. If I was wrong, I'd probably be dead, and that was bad enough. Being stupid and dead would just be that much worse.
"But what?"
Amina began, and I back-burnered the channel. Chapter 8. Running through Art's corridors, I didn't have a lot of time to plan. The way the med systems platform had activated in response to Elytra's medical emergency told me the ship's operational code, or at least large fragments of it, was still intact. And target control system was going down under my barrage of contacts, allowing more of Art's systems to come back online. This was technically a good time to try to breach the control area, but I'd be doing it even if I had to fight through an entire task group of targets and their stupid semi-invisible drones. I took the corridor up through the central module and past a target drone bobbing in mid-air and one bumping along the lower bulkhead. As target control system went down, it was flooding them with garbage code. Back in the quarters module, Amina and the others were finally clumping down the corridor toward medical. They encountered the target drone that Amina had disabled with fire suppressant, still floating aimlessly, and Oversay bashed it with a cutting tool brought from the safe pod. Scout 2 showed me the control area foyer, barely 3 meters ahead, was empty, which meant I'd lost track of Target 4. I just had time to run back its video to see Target 4 leave through the forward doorway. Then an energy heat blast hit me from behind. It struck me in the lower back, and I lost traction and fell forward and slid halfway across the deck toward the control area hatch. My performance reliability dropped to 80%. In the corridor outside medical, Amina jerked to a halt and yelled,
"No! No!"
"What?" Arata demanded.
They shot..."
Amina waved wildly at the medical hatch.
"Stay here with them!"
And bolted away. Her drone squad careened after her. I've been hit by projectile and energy weapons a lot more times than I can remember. Literally, because of the memory wipes. And it's not that it doesn't hurt. But I had tuned down my pain sensors earlier, so it was a surprise when I rolled over and saw the big smear of blood and fluid on the deck. I could only last so long like this. I needed to move faster. But at least this solved the problem of how I was going to get the hatch open. Target 4 ran toward me because assholes love to see your face when they kill you. He stopped what he thought was far enough away and fired, but I rolled onto my side so the blast hit the deck next to me. I shoved with my feet, used my hip as a pivot, and spun myself around so I could grab his ankle. He shrieked and fell backward, and I climbed up him and snapped his neck. Targets 5 and 6 were almost here, and I only had 3 drones left in the corridor. As I shoved to my feet and took 4's energy weapon, I ordered my surviving drones to run interference for me and take hits if they could. Between the stealth material helmets and the protective suits, the drones didn't have much chance of kill strikes, but hopefully they'd provide a distraction. Hefting the big square weapon was hard, and I knew I'd lost a lot of muscle and underlying support structure in my back. With my free hand, I popped the panel beside the control area hatch and then fired a short burst at the mechanism inside. The blast of heat convinced the sensors that the ship was experiencing an emergency condition. The sensors weren't wrong about that. And it reactivated the manual controls. I hit the manual release, and the hatch slid open. I stepped through and hit the close and seal sequence. One of my drones managed a shoulder hit on Target 5, but the other contacts disappeared. As the hatch slid closed, I knew I didn't have long. I'd had no time to replace the outside hatch panel, and while I had some strong evidence to suggest that what the targets lacked in personality, they also lacked in brains, they were sure to try shooting at the controls, and sooner or later, it would work. I'd cut Amina's visual access to my feed, but her drones told me that Arata and Tiago ran after her through the corridors, headed here. Yeah, I probably should have cut Amina's input before this, but I'd wanted her to know what my status was if I couldn't respond. Scout 2 was still in the foyer on Sentry, so I sent its video to Amina's feed so she'd be able to see where the targets were. I saw her slide to a stop and clutch her head, trying to focus on the new input. I was already stepping past the messily dead targets 1 and 3 and climbing the stairs to the upper control area, and I didn't have time to help her. Scout 1 was there, still monitoring displays. It greeted me with a ping as I set the energy weapon down in the nearest station chair. I needed an interface with the ship's data storage. The bond company that used to own me made a lot of its gigantic piles of currency by data mining its customers. That's recording everything everyone says and then going through it for information that could be sold. Part of my job had been to help record and parse and protect that information until it could be transferred back to the company. And if I didn't do it in a timely manner, indicating complete obedience, I got punished by my governor module, which was like being shot by a high-grade energy weapon, only from the inside out. The raw audio and feed streams make for huge data files, and they had to be moved around a lot and often got saved to unused storage areas on other systems. This is also a way to destroy data. If you don't completely hate your clients, or you're feeling particularly disgusted at the company at any one particular moment, or you've hacked your governor module and need to cover your tracks, you can move data into the buffer of the SEC system right before it's due for an update. The files are overwritten, and it looks like an accident. But my point is, ART was a big transport with a lot of interactive processes and systems working in concert, which meant there were a lot of storage spaces that would not be obvious to human intruders, or to hostile operating systems like Target Control System that seemed unable to use most of the architecture. Storage spaces where you could save a compressed backup copy of a kernel, possibly your own kernel, if you were an advanced sentient control system who was very smart and very sneaky. I still couldn't make feed connections with any of the operating stations, so I tapped the pad below the display surface that looked the most like an internal systems monitor. The display floated upward and opened into an array of small data sources. Taking in information visually rather than through the feed felt horribly slow. I pulled up the manual interface and then had to pull the non-corporate standard coding language out of my archive and load it into my internal processor. I got my query constructed and then flicked through the floating interfaces to get it loaded. After a subjective eternity that was actually 1.2 seconds long, the system started to display the data storage areas currently holding large and possibly anomalous files with structures that didn't match the protocol for the area where they were stored. I had been betting on the procedural storage for the med platform, but the first possibility my query turned up was in the galley, in a data storage area hidden in a layer under the usual space for food production formulas. But when I searched on it, it read as empty. You know, I really don't have time for this. A loose chunk from my back was sliding down in the station chair, and it was hard to hold myself upright. I was leaking a lot, and I hate leaking. I checked my Target Control System channel just for the satisfaction and saw multiple failure indicators through my barrage of contacts. Yeah, don't let the hatch close on you on your way down, fucker. Scout 2 in the control area foyer sent me video of targets 5 and 6 banging away at the open panel beside the hatch. In a corridor just out of sight of the foyer, Amina's drone group showed me her, Arata, and Tiago having a tense, whispered conversation. Amina waved the fire suppressant container urgently, and Arata had the captured energy weapon. It was exasperating. "Amina, get out of there. You know these people are dangerous." She flinched and grimaced.
"Where are you? I can't see what you're doing anymore. Are you all right?"
"Sort of, not really. I just have to do this one thing." I didn't feel so good, and it was hard figuring out the language to expand the query's search. I ran it again, and again it turned up the food production data storage reserved space. Huh. Target control system went down, my contacts pinging an empty void. I didn't discontinue my code attack just in case it was a trick. The query wasn't faulty. There was something in the food production data storage, no matter how firmly the reader said it was empty. The display station feeds were starting to come back online, so I could access their functions directly via my feed interface, which was a huge relief. I initiated a deep analysis scan of the reserved space in the food production storage and immediately hit a request for a passcode. Well, shit. In the corridor, Amina whispered to Arata,
"I think it's dying."
Arata took the fire suppressant away from Amina and handed it to Tiago. She told him,
"Be ready."
If this was really what I thought it was, the video clip was a clue. I replayed it into the request field and got no response. I ran a quick list of all the character, ship, and place names from World Hoppers. No response. And no time. Eden. The clip had been directed to Eden, a fake name I'd used for human clients, a name Art had never called me. My name, my real name, is private, but the name Art called me wasn't something humans could say or even access. It was my local feed address, hard-coded into the interfaces laced through my brain. It was worth a shot, I guess. I submitted it to the request field. It was accepted, and the storage space opened to reveal a large, compressed file. Attached to it was a short instruction document with a few lines of complex code I couldn't parse, but the instructions were clear. They said, in case of emergency, run. I pulled the code into the operating station's processing area and ran it. All the lights in the control area went dark, then blinked back to life. Simultaneously, all the display surfaces around me flickered, went to blank, then flashed reinitialization graphics. And Art's feed filled the ship. In the pleasant, neutral voice that systems use to address humans, it whispered, "Reload in progress. Please stand by." Below, the hatch slid open. The target started to step inside, but Scout 2 saw Tiago run into the foyer, bellowing and spraying fire suppressant at them. Target 5 turned toward Tiago while 6 shoved forward into the control area. Then Arata stepped out from the hatchway and shot Target 5 with the energy weapon, which left Target 6 still armed, with a clear shot at Tiago through the open hatchway. I grabbed Target 4's energy weapon and shoved out of the chair, but my legs wouldn't work right. I collapsed, rolled toward the edge of the platform, and shot Target 6. The blasts hit his chest and face, and he staggered back into the bulkhead, then fell over Target 3's sprawled body. Target 5 staggered and swayed, but he pointed his weapon at Arata. Then Art's voice, Art's real voice, filled the feed. It said, "Drop the weapon." Arata dropped her energy weapon and Tiago dropped the fire suppressant. Both held up empty hands. I told it, "Don't hurt my humans." Target 5 shouted something incoherent, then dropped his weapon and lurched sideways, clutching his head. Oh, wow. Art must have been able to access Target 5's helmet via the code used by Target Control System. Target 5 fell over and convulsed once on the deck, then went limp. Tiago started to put his hands down and then reconsidered. He said, "We mean no harm. We're here because we were attacked by that person and others." Arata added, "Who are you?" Art said, "You are aboard the Perihelion, registered teaching and research vessel of the Pan System University of Mihira and New Tideland." Then it added, "I'm not going to hurt your humans, you little idiot." Arata lifted her brows, startled, and Tiago looked boggled. I said, "You're using the public feed. Everyone can hear you."
"So are you," Art said. "And you're leaking on my deck."
Amina ran through the hatch, shied away from the pile of dead targets, then ran up the stairs. She dropped to her knees beside me and yelled,
"Hey, we need help! We need to get to medical."
Art said, "I can hear you, adolescent human. There's no reason to shout. I've dispatched an emergency gurney."
I've always thought that everything Art says sounds sarcastic. If you were a human, I'm guessing it also sounded more than vaguely menacing. Arata stepped into the control area. Tiago was checking to see if Target 5 was alive. He wasn't. Art said, "The intruder is dead." Tiago glanced up at the ceiling.
"But who are you? Are you a crew member or..."
Arata reached the top of the stairs and leaned over me, frowning worriedly. She had a cut above her left eyebrow, a first-degree burn on her cheek, and her short hair was singed. She said, "Don't worry, Sec Unit. We'll get you to medical." She squeezed Amina's shoulder. I guess Amina had never seen a Sec Unit hit with an energy weapon that caused them to lose 20% of the body mass on their back and expose their internal structure, because she seemed really upset. I was losing all my inputs, but there was one thing I had to say before the gurney got here. Art, I said aloud, because Art could silence my feed if it wanted to. You did this. You sent those assholes to kidnap my humans.
Of course not, Art said. I sent them to kidnap you.
Then my performance reliability bottomed out and...
shut down. Delayed restart.
So that was another catastrophic failure. Physically, that is. I was going to make a joke about catastrophic failures in other contexts for the second half of that sentence, but it just got too depressing. Waiting for my memory and archive to come back online, at least I knew I wasn't in a company cubicle. Even with no feed or visual input, I knew that because I was warm, which meant I was in a med system for humans. Once I could access it again, I checked my buffer to see what had happened. Oh, right. Art happened. The last conversation I had picked up on feed ambient audio was Amina, her voice a worried whisper, said,
"Are you sure it's going to be all right?"
Art, whispering back to her on a closed feed channel and somehow managing not to sound sarcastic or menacing at all, said,
"Completely. The damage to its organic tissue and support structure is easily repaired. Some systems were operating at suboptimal parameters due to repeated energy weapon strikes. The restart should correct that."
I said, "Stop talking to my human." Art said,
"Make me."
I don't know if I tried to make Art stop, but that was when I lost all input again. Now I was at 34% performance reliability and climbing steadily, lying on my side on Art's medical platform. My jacket and deflection vest were gone, and the surgical suite had cut away my shirt to get to the burned parts. I was sticky from all the leaky fluid and blood and parts falling off. Yes, it's just as disgusting as it sounds. But I didn't feel nearly as bad as I had the last time I'd been here, when Art had altered my configuration. Art. Art, you manipulative fucker. Whatever was going on, there was nothing I could do about it now, and that just made me more furious. So I watched 5 minutes of episode 174 of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. Did that work? No. No, it didn't. Tentatively, I checked my inputs. Tentatively, because I wanted to talk to a human right now about as much as I wanted to lose a couple of limbs and have a conversation about my feelings. The drones I'd assigned to Amina had managed to survive. Following my last instruction to stay with her before they'd lost contact with me, they had adopted a tight circular formation a half meter above her head. They had been collecting video the entire time I was out, and I ran it back to see what had happened. I forwarded through the boring parts with Amina being upset because of the whole me lying in a pool of steaming blood and fluid thing, and Arata trying to tell her this actually wasn't unusual for me, then the gurney arriving. It was a medical assistance device, designed to either bring casualties to the med system or to carry them off a damaged ship, so its power and functions were autonomous. It was sort of like a big maintenance drone, capable of a certain range of actions, built in the shape of a rack with expandable shells and arms. How it had survived the purge of Art's other drones, I don't know. Unless the targets just hadn't known what it was when it was folded up in its inert state. It zipped in from the foyer, angled itself up the stairs, scooped me onto itself, and clamped me down. I hate being carted around like equipment, even though technically I am, actually, equipment. As it started back down, Amina tried to follow it and Arata grabbed her arm. Looking up the way humans did when they were trying to talk to something they couldn't see, Arata said,
"Hello, your name is Art?
Can you tell me if there's anyone else aboard this ship?"
Art said,
"There is an additional unidentified human in medical, but she appears to be an injured non-combatant." I assume the two other humans present there are part of your group. All the intruders are accounted for.
Amina wiped her nose, humans are so disgusting, and said,
That's Elytra.
She was a prisoner when we got here. Ross is there too, but he's dead. She pulled away from Arata to follow the gurney down the stairs. Arata, with an expression somewhere between thoughtful and alarmed, trailed after her. Arata said, Thank you, that's a relief to hear. But can you tell us who you are?
Amina followed the gurney into the foyer.
That's the ship. It's SecUnit's friend.
She threw a glance upward.
That's you, right? You're the transport?
Tiago knelt over dead Target 6, turning the helmeted head to see the face. He looked up, startled.
The transport?
Art said, Correct.
But bot pilots don't talk like this.
Tiago said to Arata, keeping his voice low.
It can't be a bot.
Huh. Arata didn't bother to comment on that.
Transport, what happened here? She asked. Why did you attack our survey facility?
Art said, I am still reinitializing after a forced shutdown and deletion. I have prioritized restoring the med system to full function.
Amina's drones caught an image of Arata and Tiago exchanging a brow-lifted look before she followed the gurney.
Yeah, I think they had both noticed that Art had deliberately not answered the direct question.
Pro tip, when bots do that, it's not a good sign. I had to forward again through all the back and forth of getting me to medical. Arata and Tiago stayed in the control area, and Oversay went to join them, but Amina's drones didn't see a lot of that. She was sitting in medical watching the surgical suite work on me and trying to tell Rati what had happened. It was confusing, with the humans talking on their comms, but I didn't care enough to filter the raw video and separate out the different conversations. The only part that was new was about the safe pod. It had been damaged when they separated from the facility. The decision to clamp onto what at the moment had been a hostile ship hadn't been a voluntary one. The safe pod's guidance system had been damaged and had directed it toward the nearest functional transport before Oversay could stop it. Then we were in the wormhole and it was too late to escape. By the time we had exited the wormhole, Oversay and Arata had already had to cannibalize four of the evac suits aboard while they were trying to repair the failing life support. And they had estimated that they would last another 17 hours, if that. All four of the humans needed treatment for toxic air inhalation, plus Rati had damaged a knee when a gravity fluctuation had slammed him into a bulkhead. At one point, Amina and Tiago had this conversation over the comm.
Are you sure you're all right?
This was the fourth time he had asked her that, and I was beginning to understand why she was so annoyed with authority figures all the time.
Those people, they didn't hurt you?
Uncle, I'm fine.
She said that in the normal, human, adolescent, exasperated, and borderline whiny tone. That's actually statistically normal for human adults, too. Then she hesitated and added,
When we got here, they hit SecUnit with one of those big drone things and knocked it out, and I thought it was dead and I was alone with them. The corporates, Elytra and Ross, were there, but they were so scared, and I knew I was in a lot of trouble. Then SecUnit was just suddenly in the room, and I knew we were going to fight these people, and we were going to win.
She leaned her hip against the med platform and folded her arms, tucking her hands up in her armpits like she was cold.
Are you sure SecUnit's going to be all right? The transport said it was, but it looks bad.
I'm sure,
Tiago told her, sounding all warm and confident. Liar, you're not sure. The others who had seen me in way worse shape than this, they were sure.
Do you still have those drones over your head? Why are they there?
She glanced up, brow furrowed like she had forgotten them.
Sec Unit gave me these when it had to go search the area and make sure there weren't hostiles in our safe zone. Sitting on the bench with a wound pack wrapped around his knee, Rati smiled.
That Sec Unit. I'm glad it kept you safe.
Tiago sounded like it just made him more worried. He said,
What exactly were you doing?
I checked all my video inputs. Scout 1 was still in the control area, watching Arata and Oversay, who sat in Art station chairs, flicking through its displays. Scout 2 was still in the foyer with a view of Tiago, who had searched Target 6's suit and was trying to get the Target's screen device to work. Everyone was listening. Amina wiped her face impatiently.
We had just found the alien remnant tech on the engines, right before we came out of the wormhole into this system. We think that's what let us get here so fast. Sec Unit realized there was something wrong about the story Elytra and Ross told us, like they had only been captured a couple of days ago, which wasn't nearly long enough for a trip to preservation from even the nearest wormhole. We were trying to figure out what to do about it when we got the signal from you.
Alien remnant tech?
The look Rati threw at Elytra was suspicious. Her eyes were open now, and tracking, though she still looked confused. He had tried to talk to her earlier, but while she had blinked and shifted position occasionally, she hadn't seemed aware of her surroundings. Rati was probably thinking about past evidence of corporations collecting illegal alien materials and how great that had turned out. On the comm, Oversay said,
Is it dangerous? Should we try to remove it from the drive?
On the general feed and comm, audible to the whole ship, Art said,
The foreign device detached from my drive and ceased to function when the invading system was deleted. Further interference is not advisable.
That was definitely not menacing.
Oh no, not at all.
On a private feed channel to Art, I said,
You set me up, you fucker.
I was still catching up on archived drone video and 54 seconds behind actual time, so Art ignored me. Right, hear me out. The message packet with the Worldhopper's video clip had been sent through Art's internal comm before it went down, presumably not long after Art hid a backup copy of itself, passcode protected, by my hard feed address. Art had been expecting me to be aboard at some point to run its emergency code, which would uncompress the backup and reload it into its hardware. Which meant it had sent the targets to find me in preservation space and given them the ability to track me via the comm I had stashed in my rib compartment. Which meant Art had been conscious and capable of affecting events during the attack on our facility and base ship. Art's sudden and obviously intentionally dramatic re-entrance into the general feed and calm conversation had made the humans tense. It startled Elytra into awareness.
Who's that?
She asked, looking from Rati to Amina.
It's the transport,
Rati told her, watching the ceiling warily.
I don't suppose you could call it a bot pilot.
I don't suppose you could, Art said.
Listening from the control area, Arata's brows drew together. She asked Oversay,
Could we get a display link to medical?
Art said, It's better if I do it.
And a hollow display of Arata and Oversay in the control area blossomed in the center of medical. Scout 1 showed me that a corresponding display of medical had unfolded in the control area. There was an attached sidebar in both displays, showing Tiago out in the foyer area, sitting in a chair with the target screen device in his lap. He looked wary. Okay, so, 1. I had never been able to access cameras aboard Art, except through its drones. It saw the interior of the ship through its internal sensors, which provided data. Heat, density, angles of motion, etc. That didn't translate into visual images, at least not visual images useful to humans.
I thought it didn't have cameras in most areas. This was proof it had been holding out on me again. 2. The video effects were smoother and more polished than anything I could have done, and that just made me more furious. This was a vid conference link for humans trying to figure out how screwed they were, not a professional newsfeed production. Art had dissolved the edges and corrected the color just to show off. Next, it would be providing theme music and a mission logo. My performance reliability hit 60% and I could talk again. I said, "Fuck you, Art." Amina leaned over the platform, watching me worriedly.
"Sec unit, how are you doing?"
"I'm fine." Parts of the surgical suite were withdrawing, and I could see her with my eyes now instead of just the drones. Except that I'm being held prisoner by a giant asshole of a research transport. Rati hobbled over and stopped outside the sterile field.
"Do you need anything?"
Amina said, "I saw what happened. I mean, I still had the view through your eyes when..." She stopped and swallowed.
"That was intense."
That was one word for it. I sat up as the rest of the suite pulled away. The skin on my back felt new and itchy. I hate that. "I need my jacket." Art said, "It was damaged and is being repaired in the recycler." It was very hard to say evenly, "I am not speaking to you." Rati lifted his brows.
"So, how well do you two know each other?"
In the control area, Arata stood up.
Rati, let's take that up later. Transport, will you answer our questions now?"
Art said, "That depends on the questions." I said, "The humans think I'm an asshole. Wait till they get to know you."
"I thought you weren't speaking to me."
Rati muttered to Amina, "I admit I'm a little worried right now." Amina told him,
"Sec unit said bot pilots can kill people."
Art said, "Sec unit exaggerates." Arata's brow was furrowed.
"Transport, where are we?"
"We've accessed your sensors, and we're not receiving any contacts indicating a station. Is this an uninhabited system?"
"This system has a numerical designation assigned by a corporation which was investigating it for salvage. It was the site of at least 2 attempts at colonization. The latest attempt was abandoned when the company funding it was destroyed in a hostile takeover, and the colony's location was lost."
Art paused for 8.3 seconds for no reason I could think of except to make the humans think it wasn't going to answer the question.
"I have evidence indicating that it is inhabited."
Arata has a lot of expressions, even for a human. The one she was wearing now involved squinting one eye and twisting her mouth around and biting one corner of her lip. I didn't know what it meant, except that she must be worried by what she was hearing.
"It's inhabited by these people? The hostiles?"
"Circumstances suggest it."
"Yeah, that was sarcastic." Arata stopped biting her lip, but her eye got more squinty.
"What is your operational status? You said the alien remnant detached from your engines? Can we leave now via the wormhole?"
"I am currently still in reinitialization mode, and my normal space maneuvering functions are not responding, possibly due to damage caused when the foreign device was installed on the wormhole drive. When reinitialization completes, I can begin self-repair. But I have absolutely no intention of leaving this system until I get what I want."
"Oh, here we go." Rati made a faint oof noise. Tiago's jaw started to drop, but he stopped it in time. Amina folded her lips in and glanced worriedly at me. Oversay grimaced and rubbed her eyes. Arata looked like she wasn't exactly surprised. She did a quick silent communication expression thing back and forth with Oversay. Then she said evenly,
"I see. What do you want?
I want my crew back.
Arata's brows lifted like she was relieved it wasn't something worse.
What happened to them?
The hostiles stole them, forced me to cooperate by threatening their welfare, infected my engines with interdicted alien remnant technology, installed adversarial software, and then deleted me.
I was still mad, right? But there were a lot of keywords there that invoked involuntary responses.
Tiago kept his expression neutral.
But how are you talking to us if...
I saved a backup copy and hid it where only a trusted friend could find it.
I was looking at the wall, watching everyone and the display with Amina's drones.
Trusted friend?
Oh, fuck you.
That still counts as speaking.
Arata and Oversay looked at each other again. Oversay widened her eyes and did a slight shoulder movement. Arata's mouth set in a grim line, then she took a breath and asked,
Is Sec Unit right?
Did you plan to attack our facility?
It was not my plan.
Oversay's eyes had narrowed. She said, But it was your idea.
I said, Don't humor it.
Arata's tone was still even.
It wasn't your plan, but you made it happen. You sent those people after us, after Sec Unit.
Art said, I did.
Of course it did.
You knew where we were? Rati frowned. How?
When I arrived through the preservation wormhole, I sent messages inquiring after humans who I knew were associated with Sec Unit. The Free Preservation Institute of Discovery and Engineering was most helpful when I asked for a possible meeting with survey specialist Arata. They sent me complete information on your itinerary and team.
Of course they had. I had heard Art pretend to be human on the comm before, on the Ravi Hyrule transit station.
Rati groaned and covered his face.
Arata and Oversay stared at each other incredulously. Oversay muttered,
We have got to talk to them about that.
Arata rubbed a spot over her left eye like it hurt. She said to Art,
So, you knew when we'd be coming back to preservation space.
You were early.
Arata was sticking to the point.
But why did you want to kidnap Sec Unit?
I needed someone who could kill the hostiles.
Everyone looked at me. I dug my fingers into the edge of the med platform. The skin on them itched, too, where the surgical suite had fixed the burned parts.
You told them I was a weapon that they could use.
I built a trap. They entered it of their own accord.
But who are they? Amina said, frustrated. Where did they come from? Are they supposed to look like that? Did something happen to them to make them this way?
Art said, I don't know the answers to any of those questions.
Tiago looked down at Target 6.
There's a possibility their appearance is the result of genetic or cosmetic manipulation, but...
Rati finished.
But we have an alien remnant on the drive that does suggest possible contamination.
That's why humans and augmented humans are so cautious around alien remnants that even corporations mostly try to be careful.
Strange synthetics are usually harmless. Emphasis on the usually. But organic elements can be really dangerous, where really means everyone dies horribly and nobody can ever go to the planet again.
Tiago's mouth tightened.
If any of these people had been left alive, perhaps we could have asked them.
I thought that was a shot at me, but Art apparently didn't take it well.
It said, If you'll put that one on the medical platform... I can cut it open and see.
I was unimpressed, having heard Art's villain of a long-running mythic adventure serial voice before, but all the humans got quiet. Amina shifted uncertainly and looked at me. Then Rati whispered,
Was that a subtle threat?
I said no, it wasn't subtle.
Amina hugged herself, then said, How did the Gray People steal your crew?
Art said, There was a catastrophic event when my crew and I first entered this system. My memory archive was disrupted, and I'm still attempting to reconstruct it.
Oh, fantastic, I said. Is your comm shut down?
It was not an attack launched via the comm, because I'm not an idiot.
And I'm not the one who got taken down by a viral malware attack, so maybe you are an idiot, I said. Yeah, I was all over the place with that one.
Art said, It was not a viral malware attack. It was an unidentified event.
That's fucking reassuring.
Hey.
Amina waved an arm, snapping her fingers.
Please don't stop telling us what happened. So, your crew were taken prisoner by these Gray People, correct? And are the Gray People from the lost colony that Elytra's ship was looking for?
Everybody turned to look at Elytra, who stared blearily back.
Art said, Those are logical assumptions, though I have no direct evidence to support them. I know that we arrived in this system in response to a distress call from a corporate reclamation expedition. At some point, I experienced a catastrophic system malfunction that caused me to reinitialize. After the reinitialization, I found the intruders aboard. They said they were holding my crew hostage and demanded weapons. I offered a weapon.
Everybody looked at me again. Arata did the lip-biting thing. You brought them to Sec Unit because you knew Sec Unit would be able to handle the situation.
I did.
The attack on our base ship could have killed all of us, Tiago said. Some heat creeping into his voice.
No shit, Tiago, you think?
Rati hissed under his breath,